This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Today's guest is Camille Dan. Camille has an incredibly moving and inspiring story, and she really shares some beautiful personal experiences. Her son, Aaron, tragically passed away a few years ago, and Camille, who was a skeptic, was amazed when he made sure to keep in contact with her. Camille Dan is the mother of Aaron and his two brothers and one sister. She has professional experience as a critical care registered nurse, a medical technical consultant for feature films and TV, and a private investment manager. So a very logical person. She's the self-published author of Gathering at the Doorway, an anthology of signs, visits, and messages from the afterlife, and Aaron's Energy, an unexpected journey through grief and the afterlife with my brilliant son. She's also co-host of the Book Club Across the Veil, an online book club. Camille's journey after losing her eldest son has been unexpected. A former skeptic, she's now written 3 books on afterlife signs and messages, has contributed to other books on grief and afterlife. She's been a guest on many podcasts and YouTube shows, as well as a speaker. All of this has happened since September 2019. Camille is sure that her son Aaron has been her guiding light through it all. Hey, everyone. I'm really excited to let you know about the Science and Spirituality Salons I'm now hosting. During these intimate events, a scientifically verified psychic medium will give all of you readings, and I will give a talk on the science and evidence that changed my mind about an afterlife. This will also be an amazing opportunity to get to meet some of you in person or virtually, and to share more about all the science and data that transformed my worldview and got me through my worst days. These can be hosted in your home, in a nearby cafe with a private room, or they can even be virtual. I've hosted a few already, and they were really special, fascinating, emotional, evidential. So if you're interested in getting a small group together over dinner, brunch, drinks, coffee, to learn more about the science and to get evidential medium readings, send me an email at hello@wtfjusthappened.net and put science and spirituality in the title. So a lot of you have reached out saying you wish there were full videos of all episodes. And I have been posting videos, but with a still frame, not with people. And I did some research and learned how to do some better quality video editing. So going forward, for most of the episodes, you will now be able to watch them in full video on YouTube, so you can see what the guest looks like. And I definitely would love your feedback on any of the video episodes. You'll be able to watch this full talk on YouTube. And I'm also going to go back through and edit and post older episodes in full video on YouTube. I often didn't record video for the earliest episodes, so I won't be able to edit all of the past episodes into video, but I'll do the ones I can. It's going to take some time, so they'll be rolled out slowly, but I am getting to them. And any of you who see them, I would love your opinions and any feedback. And thank you so much for taking the time to give feedback and your opinions. I really love hearing from all of you. Welcome to What the Fuck Just Happened. I'm your host, Liz Enten. If you listened to the intro, you know my story. If not, here's a brief summary. I'm a science-y skeptic, and when my dad died, I took a shot in the dark and decided to investigate if there was any possible evidence of an afterlife. I assumed that was as realistic as Santa Claus, but I was desperate. However, I was so blown away by what I discovered that I wrote a book and launched this podcast. In this podcast, I'll be talking to some fairly normal people about some really weird shit. I speak with everyone from psychic mediums and afterlife researchers to ordinary people who've had some inexplicable experiences. So come, listen. There's no need to draw any final conclusions. Keep an open mind and wonder, what the fuck just happened? Hi, I'm speaking with Camille Dan today, and she is author of Aaron's Energy and has also really delved into all this afterlife evidence and been transformed by it. So welcome, Camille.
Thank you, Liz. It's an honor to be on your show. I love your podcast. I listen to it all the time, and I'm actually humbled to be here alongside your other guests.
Well, I'm absolutely humbled to have you. Camille has, unfortunately, we've not met in person, but she is very involved with all the People at Forever family. Some of my guests, such as Annette Marinaccio, have contributed to one of her books, an anthology of their stories. So yeah, it's really an honor to have you. So yeah, tell us a little bit. I know some this not always the easiest to talk about, but what got you involved in the first place in all of this research?
Well, it really started when my son passed away. After he passed away, he died on September 22nd of 2019, not that long ago, considering how far I've come. And, you know, I had always been skeptical about, not an unbeliever in, you know, afterlife. I believed in that there is an afterlife. I believed that there is some kind of heaven that we go to. And I really very much wanted to believe that's where Aaron went. And I was just in a total state of shock to lose my son. He was only 31 years old. You know, after his funeral and his Shiva, which we observe in the Jewish faith, which is a week long, we decided to get out of the city where we live. And I had started reading, actually, some books, which I had obviously never read on this subject before. And one book said it was good to get out into nature, good for grief. So we decided to go to the cottage. And we're driving up to the cottage. Now it's nearly October. And where we live, we have these beautiful fall colors in the leaves of the trees. And I'm a passenger in the car, and I'm just, you know, marveling at the fall colors along the side of the road. And all of a sudden it hit me that Aaron will never see those beautiful colors again. And as soon as I said that, I heard him say to me, as if he was another passenger in the car, "I do see them, Mom. I see the colors. I can't describe them. They're beyond what you can see. They're beautiful. The trees are emitting their energy, and that's what I see." And I just sat there stunned for a minute and thought, I looked and saw, didn't look like anybody else heard anyone speak. And I didn't mention it to anyone because I thought they'd think I'm crazy and hallucinating. And of course, I thought I was too for a long time. And then from that point onward, I began to hear Aaron speaking to me. and sending me signs, and the timing of the signs, they were timed with what was going on for me in the moment. And I noticed that pretty early on. And I learned later, those are called synchronicities. And what Aaron began to do was fill me full of information about what his afterlife is like. So, and he began to guide me to places that I could learn more from beyond just the messages he was sending me. And some of the messages I did not even understand. They were physics-based and metaphysics-based, and I had never studied that before. So that's kind of how it all started.
When he'd send you information you didn't understand, how would you get information that you couldn't understand? And what would be an example, if I'm going, I guess, on the assumption you delved in a little further and maybe understand it somewhat more now?
Yeah. So he, you know, for instance, the first thing he ever said to me, and then when I would start asking him questions, you know, "Aaron, are you here?" He would answer me. I could hear him in his voice. "Yes, Mom, I'm there and you're here." And it started out like very simple like that. And I was like, "Oh, wow, I'm there? Yeah, you're here. You can't see me, but I can see you." And then it just grew from there. He would tell me something about, for instance, entanglement of electrons. Never heard of that before. So I'd Google it or look it up in a book or coincidentally, not coincidentally, hear it on a podcast. And then I would tie it together. I could learn from it. So it's almost like he was, you know, slow dripping me with information, almost like a course. He was teaching me a course in physics and metaphysics and afterlife and all of that, and only giving me as much as I could absorb at a time. And I was journaling what he was saying. Originally, it was my grief journal, and his messages just began to be much more prominent in my journaling. So that's how I turned it into a book. It was from my journal originally, of all the messages that he gave me.
It's interesting about quantum entanglement. I feel all of us more skeptical people, that's one of the first things we come across in some way. And I can relate, while I wasn't hearing a voice, it was just like this weird knowing of what to Google. And I just still, you know, I mean, this is your story, so I'm not going to go into it too much, but just amazed sort of the perfect path I went on of finding the logical, the scientific, and knowing where to look. I can't even tell you how I knew what I did, but I somehow did.
I'm the same. I can't even tell you how I knew, but I know now, looking back, that it's all guidance. In fact, we've been guided today together. You know, what we're doing right now, what we're talking about right now, is guidance from spirit.
That's funny how all of us with Forever Family found each other, as Annette, who we both know, Annette Marinaccio, always has said that we're Bailey's astral gang. And I kind of love that. So
yeah,
all kind of almost as if she brought all these people together who are the more logical people helping promote this concept of survival.
I'm referencing Bailey's astral gang. Bailey Ginsburg is Fran and Bob Ginsburg's daughter, and she is on the other side and the inspiration for the launch of Forever Family Foundation when she sadly passed away at 15 years old, obviously devastating Fran and Bob and setting them on their investigation of afterlife evidence. Annette Marinaccio is a fellow Forever Family Foundation volunteer, and she once got a message that we in Forever Family Foundation are all part of Bailey's astral gang, and we're spreading this message.
But now I want to ask you a few things. First of all, everything's coming to you in Aaron's voice, or a lot of it is. Is it his voice? Is it the same as if you were sitting here talking to him? Like on the phone? I mean, I know you can't see him physically, but
it's interesting because 4 years later, it's still his voice. And I had heard from people that they often forget their loved one's voice, the sound of their voice, how they spoke. I don't forget. I can't forget it because it's always in his voice.
You said he kind of told you about what it's like for him on the other side. Would you mind telling me how he told you and what it's like?
That's a very good question. And the answer to that is very big. For starters, it took a long time before Aaron would even tell me about his transition. I think he waited till I was ready to hear it. One day when I was ready, I asked him. I asked him what happened right after. What happened? Was there pain? He said, pain is like a mosquito bite. It's gone in an instant. He said, he woke up and it was completely dark. And he looked around and couldn't see anything. And all of a sudden, a white circle of light appeared. And it looked like one of those, you know, the sparklers on 4th of July that we would spin around and make those sparkly circles with? He said, he showed me. He also combines his messages with imagery and all kinds of different ways of getting the message across. It isn't just one. It's like cloud images, you know, animals, all kinds of different signs for me to, and I kind of have to connect the dots to figure out what he's telling me a lot of the time. Sometimes I can't connect them all in one minute or one day. Sometimes it takes a few weeks. So he told me that there's this white spinning circle and that was the only thing he saw. So he went toward it and all of a sudden he felt himself being absorbed into it. And I thought, wow. And it just, the way he told me, the words he used and everything, it just sounded so peaceful and so loving. It didn't sound traumatic in any way. And that made me feel a lot better to hear. Well, what's interesting, much later, I don't know, maybe another year later or so, I come across event horizons, an event horizon that occurs at the perimeter of a black hole or the visible perimeter of a black hole, which I never knew anything about. I didn't even know what an event horizon was. I see an event horizon. I think, hey, that looks just like that ring of light that Aaron showed me. So sure enough. And he started talking about black holes too before I saw that. And I wondered, why are you talking about black holes now all of a sudden? He starts filling me in. And then I see this event horizon. I think, oh, this has something to do with your transition then. It's remarkable how much he is showing me the connection between the physical and the non-physical, the spiritual, and getting me to understand it.
So you mentioned that he described the crossing, which again parallels both an event horizon at a black hole and also is very similar to a lot of near-death experiences, which I guess that's one question. Had you read about near-death experiences when he described that to you?
I wasn't that familiar with near-death experiences, but I actually had an out-of-body experience once in my life when I was pregnant with Aaron. I got very sick. I got a high fever, and all of a sudden, I was outside my body floating around the ceiling looking for quick escape routes out. And I did. I escaped out through a vent in the wall. And I figured, I knew at the time that it would be easier for all of my little particles that were floating around in a kind of a little blob of particles could pass through an open vent easier than passing through a wall. However, I knew I could do that too. So I chose the vent. Next thing I know, I'm flying out in towards outer space. And I thought about it for 1 second. I thought, oh, wait a minute. And I look down and I see my body on the bed and I think, I wonder if this isn't good for the baby. And as soon as I had that thought, I whooshed back into my body. So that's the closest I've ever come personally to an out-of-body experience. Well, I had it. As far as a near-death experience, I'd heard of them. I was an ICU nurse a long time ago, and I had patients describing their near-death experiences. I worked on the cardiac crash team in the hospital. I worked in open-heart surgery and cardiovascular ICU, and we had patients coding all the time. And it was always surprising when they would tell me what they saw going on in the room when they were clearly clinically dead, flatlined, and we were resuscitating them. But I still kind of didn't think of it as, I thought, well, this is something that goes on with the brain, and it's just not known yet how it happens, but it will be eventually. So when Aaron told me about that, I actually recognized what he told me with my own out-of-body experience.
That's incredible. I've been trying to have them and trying, and maybe someday I'll crack the code.
I've been trying and trying to have another one because it is the most freeing experience. Like, you really don't want to have to come back, you know, but, and I didn't choose to come back. I just had that thought. And next thing I knew, I was back in my body, but I doubt I'd have come back.
Did Aaron go further describing what it's like? He described the initial crossing. Has he explained what he's doing there, what his life's like now?
Yeah. So one time I asked him, you know, are you here? He said, I'll be back, Mom. I'm busy. I'm thinking, busy? What are you busy doing? He said, I'm creating what I want to create over here, doing what I want to do. And he went on and he told me that when from the other side, when they want to connect with us, they can use a vast variety of means. So he described with a bird, for instance. He said, birds are easy to connect with. Their energy, our energy is easy to meld with, and they kind of like piggyback their energy on. They can fly, so they can get places fast, so they can check in on us and drop us a sign. And that's a connection. He said, in order for it to be a sign, we have to be part of it. We have to observe it. We have to witness it. It's not a sign unless we do, because there has to be that connection. So people who say they missed signs, they didn't miss signs. They didn't miss anything. Birds fly by us all the time, and, you know, clouds are above our heads all the time. It's a sign when we see it. And that goes along with, you know, basically the collapse of the wave function under observation and that type of science. So that made sense to me when he said that, oh, we have, the sign needs an observer.
What are some of the signs you got?
A lot in 4 years now. So one that really stood out for me, probably more than many of the others, is the cloud sign that I saw from him. I was feeling very down, and I walked outside on the patio and I looked at the sky and I asked him, I begged him, please send me a sign that's just so obvious I can't talk myself out of it. I look up in the sky and I see this little bunch of clouds. It was the only bunch of clouds in the sky at the time. And they start moving. And I'm, you know, that's normal. Clouds move. They change shape before our eyes. The only difference with this bunch of clouds was they changed into the words, I love you. And I got a photo of it. Thank goodness I had my phone with me. I have a photo of it, and I actually put it in my book, Gathering at the Doorway. My chapter in that book is a continuation of Aaron's messages to me.
Well, we can put the photo in the show notes and show people.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Do you want to explain the collapse of the wave function for our listeners?
Oh, and I'm not a physicist. That's a very tough question, but my understanding is that things exist in reality. Everything is energy. It's not matter. And it exists in what's called superposition, a number of possible outcomes. And the wave function is the collapse of the possibilities into the reality. So that's what we see.
You also mentioned there's been some crazy synchronicities.
So many. Here's one. I interviewed someone yesterday for a book club meeting. I run a book club called The Book Club Across the Veil, and she's a numerologist. And I tape our book club meetings and record them, and I put them up on YouTube, and I was having trouble with my computer. It wouldn't upload the video. And I'm thinking, wow, this is the first time. I'm usually so good. I usually get the video up the same day, and I'm not able to get it up the same day. I get up this morning and I open a post. The first post I look at is about numerology. And I thought, oh, that's a synchronicity. I've got numerology on my mind. I've got my video posting on my mind, and I open a video about numerology. And I thought, I'm going to get it on today. That's the synchronicity. Another synchronicity happened when I was on a call with someone and the call dropped, and I was frustrated with the Wi-Fi. It was a FaceTime call, really frustrated. And all of a sudden, a bird feeder behind me dropped to the ground and smashed. At the same time, the call dropped. And I was like, oh my goodness, why would this be happening? And then I realized what I was talking about in the conversation with the person was how a house of cards collapses and a birdhouse drops and collapses and smashes at the same time. So things like that happen all the time. And I know that it's Aaron. Another big one that happened was I asked Aaron if I would ever see him again. And he said to me, you will see me and you will recognize me. Oh, I'm thinking, okay, I'll see him and I'll recognize him. And I'm trying to think of how can that be? You know, how is that going to look when it happens? Well, it happened not too long after that I was watching a documentary. Are you familiar with Sonia Rinaldi and her work?
I am, but if you just want to tell our listeners.
So Sonia Rinaldi is a Brazilian researcher who has a lifetime career of recording ITC recordings from across the veil. And she developed a technique for photographing and videoing images called trans images of, you know, spirits across the veil. It's fascinating. So I had heard of her prior to the release of a documentary about her called Rinaldi. I was watching the documentary. 58 minutes into the documentary, there's an image of my son. Unquestionable image of my son. I nearly fell off of my chair, and I thought, oh my God, this is it. He said, I will see him and I will recognize him. Little did I ever think or know this could have been the way, but it was unbelievable. And then I contacted Sonia, and she went on to discover over 130 more images of my son in her laboratory. Some were with my deceased father and my deceased mother. These are images that she would never have seen. They were not digital images of them, but it was clear it was them. And I showed them to family members too. It's remarkable.
I can't begin to understand it. I have 1,000 questions, so hopefully we'll get her on and she can go into this. So,
well, basically, it's what we've been talking about, manipulation of particles in her laboratory. She's created a vapor chamber and light is shot through it from different angles. And she records on video and the particles, you can see them changing into images. It's absolutely fascinating if you check her out and her work on, you know, she does a lot with Sandra Champlain of We Don't Die as well. So
do your other family members get signs and communication from Erin as well?
One of my sisters gets some, not from Erin, but from my parents. My other two are, you know, they're skeptical. They don't really believe it.
And I know you were skeptical too, like me. Was there, I call them the big what the fucks, like the turning point. Was there a point, I know I feel in this, it go from, at least for me, no way to maybe a little more than this. You know, I can't say I'm 100%, but there's this like next level where it's just this turning point where you're like, that was so unbelievable. And you go to completely the next level. Was there something like that happened?
Well, definitely that trans image of Erin in Sonia's documentary was the turning point. And that was a long time in. That was February of last year, 2022. And, you know, so that had been not that far in, but I was still very skeptical up until that point. But at that point, it was like, okay, there's been too much happen prior to it for all of this just to be coincidence. You know, I mean, I write about so many signs and messages from him in my books that it's for one person to have all of this just be coincidental. I just can't argue with it anymore.
I hear you. Yeah. It starts to, you're just like, well, what are the odds of chance of this? And aw, hi to your dog. I've got one.
Yeah.
He
sorry. Is she interrupting us?
Not at all. Pickles. No, you'll hear some podcasts where Pickles is in the background saying hello to of my episodes, so don't even worry about it.
Okay.
No, very cute. I have to ask what her name is, though.
Maisie.
Hi, Maisie. No, we're a very dog-friendly, animal-friendly podcast. When you were a nurse, if you're able to share this, you said some people mentioned NDEs.
Yeah, so I thought back on one of them that really stood out. When this started happening to me, and this was a long time ago, I mean, I was a nurse in the 1980s, 1990s, and, you know, very skeptical and practical at the time. It was the middle of the night one night, and I checked on a patient, and right in front of me, he had I'm guessing a cardiac respiratory arrest. I can't say which preceded which. And so I called a code, which is, you know, the cardiac arrest crash team comes to the room. And, you know, his eyes rolled back in his head. He was flatlined. He had, it even went to the point where the cardiac surgeon came in and we did open cardiac massage on him, which is actually opening the chest incision and manually massaging the heart to get it pumping. It was just a horrific scene. And we managed to bring him back. He went to the OR. They repaired, he had an aortic valve tear that was bleeding into his chest, and that was repaired. He went to the ICU. He was there for a couple of weeks. He recovered and came back. And so this was like more than 2 weeks later, I was assigned as his nurse and I came in the room and he said, oh, hi. He said, I haven't said thank you yet. I said, you don't have to thank me. It's my job. And he said, no, I mean for saving my life. And I looked at him and I thought, how did you even know it was me, right? His eyes had rolled back in his head when I found him. I can't imagine he could have seen me. He said, oh, no, I knew you were there. And he was not at all conscious. He was completely gone.
from what I'm learning and hearing, is there are so many people have NDEs, they just don't publicize them or talk about them or tell their doctors. Apparently, they more often will tell a nurse, but more and more stories, because a lot of skeptics say, oh, this tiny percent of people report this, like there's got to be some delusions of the brain where some people are having that. But the amount of people, there's so many more than we realize. I'm starting to think
incredible.
Or know or...
Incredible. In fact, one of the contributors to Gathering at the Doorway, Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, he does quite, you're familiar with him, I'm sure, through Forever Family Foundation. He's a fascinating doctor and researcher of, you know, survival of consciousness. In one of his studies, he's very good at disproving conventional thinking. And so in one of his studies of patients who have been in comas and non-responsive and they only have brainstem function, no functioning cortex, that they report memories when the memory center of their brain wasn't functioning. So how can that be? How can that be if they're not conscious? So his work is absolutely genius and has been very helpful for me.
Yeah, he's been very, very helpful for me too. And I found him pretty early on in grief because Fran told me about him. So that's how I first heard about him. And she gave me his workbook on grief and the evidence. So I'll put a link to the show notes in the show notes to that. So have you ever had any medium readings?
Yes. Yes, I have. Probably the one that stands out the most for me is I had I don't like using the word coincidental, so I'm going to call it a synchronicity. I came across Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, and he was having an online event, and I was still skeptical about this stuff at the time. And about 4 minutes before, I saw there was still a spot available, so I signed on to it. And the first thing that came through for Mark was Blue Jays. He's seeing Blue Jays. And I'm sitting back thinking, well, he can't be talking about the Toronto Blue Jays. So I didn't say anything, and nobody took that sign. So I timidly typed in the chat, my mother was a big Toronto Blue Jays fan. He called me up. He said, and I said, oh, I didn't think it would be that. He said, no, don't ever say no. Don't ever think it's not. It definitely is. He went on to give the most evidential evidence of my mother. I was just sitting there with my mouth hanging open. He talked about the finger she broke and the ring couldn't fit on her finger. I mean, how could he come up with this? He talked about the necklace I bought her. He can't know that. And he can't research that when I sign up 4 minutes before. So I have to say that's one of the most profound. Another one is, and also Mark Anthony is a contributor to Gathering at the Doorway. There's over 40 authors from around the world that have contributed to this book. I'm just so proud of all of them. And another contributor is Sherry Gallant. Sherry Gallant is a medium that's very well known in Canada. And again, I contacted her. I reached out through a friend to her, and she brought through incredible, amazing evidence of my father. Things that she couldn't have known. For instance, he had a collection of baseball caps. Well, how would she know that? Even if she looked me up, or where would that be? You know, she just knew too many things that you can't Google or find out. And then probably the other most standout reading I've had from a medium was from Cheryl Murphy. And again, she had an event and I spotted it and signed up at the last minute. She called me up and Erin came through. She knew about the rock garden with the semicircular bench we had just put in as a memory garden for Aaron. She knew about my bracelet. She told about all these things. And again, I was shocked that, and of course, and then I've had more. I've had Lisa Wilcoxon, the Phoenix medium. I've had so many readings now since I started with this, and they're all shockingly evidential.
You just gave me a bunch of new names. The only one I've ever heard of was Mark Anthony, so I'll have to check out some of the others.
You ever wonder what mediums do with their free time? How about a 30-something-year-old gay medium living in New York City? Well, in this podcast, you're about to find out. Welcome to Ghost Daddy, a place where LGBTQ+ spiritual people, and our cis-hetero allies, of course, have a place to just be themselves and spread their wisdom. This is the new face of spirituality. None of that love and light, toxic positivity crap. So pour yourself a vodka soda, open up your mind, and start listening. You can listen to the Ghost Daddy podcast anywhere where you listen to podcasts.
Hi, can I ask all of you listening a favor? Would you mind rating and reviewing my book, WTF Just Happened? A Sciencey Skeptic Explores Grief, Healing, and Evidence of an Afterlife on Amazon? Authors depend so much on ratings. They are crucial to the algorithm and Amazon making sure this book is seen. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. Thank you. So are there any other contributors, any other remarkable stories that you'd like to share that were sent in for Gathering at the Doorway?
Well, I have to say every story is remarkable. What's remarkable about the book is that every author comes from a different background, different walk of life, a different career, a different set of beliefs, different religion, different country. Yet everyone has had signs and messages from across the veil that they write about. And some of them are famous authors in this genre, and some people are first-time authors. So it just shows that we all have a connection. It doesn't matter who we are, what we do, we all are connected across the veil. Some of the remarkable signs in the book that I can think of offhand, one of the authors, Cindy Leader, her husband passed away and sends her heart signs. And she has photos of them. And you know, we have a lot of photos in the book that are quite, you know, the signs are quite evident. Another author, Margaret Mary Petrozzo, has photos of orbs. One of them has her daughter's face in it. It's incredible. I'd love to mention every single author in the book. You know, Annette Marinaccio, you know her story, and she's a contributor to the book as well.
We are talking about Annette Marinaccio. She's the one I had mentioned earlier, who had referenced Bailey's Astral Gang. She's the author of Your Soul Focus, You Believe in the Afterlife, Don't You? She was an early guest on this podcast for 2 episodes, back when I divided each guest into 2 different episodes. Episode 15, A Left-Brained Accountant and Afterlife Evidence, author of Your Soul Focus, Annette Marinaccio. And episode 16, titled Afterlife Evidence and a Logical Accountant, author of Your Soul Focus, Annette Marinaccio.
And Bob Ginsberg also contributed a foreword to the book.
We are talking about Bob Ginsberg, co-founder of the Forever Family Foundation, who I talk about a lot on this podcast. He's also been a guest on this podcast for episode 45, titled Afterlife Science and Certifying Psychic Mediums Finally Convinced Robert Ginsberg, Co-founder of the Forever Family Foundation.
So it's a incredible list of authors and their stories.
I definitely recommend it to everyone. Yeah, I read it. It's lots of good stories. So good people. Yeah, just adds to evidence. Actually, I do want to back up and just ask. We touched upon that you saw some people who had some near-death experiences when you worked as a nurse in the ICU. Did you ever see other types of phenomena that people talk about, such as terminal lucidity or deathbed visions?
You know, I never worked in oncology or in any areas that, you know, I would come across patients who were at an end stage. My understanding is that most of the shared death experiences occur in hospice and situations like that. So I can't say that I did. I didn't hear that from, that I can recall. I didn't hear any shared death experiences from my patients.
Yeah, so you have your book club that you touched upon. How did the book club Across the Veil come about? And also, thank you so much. I know you put What the Fuck in there. You put a bunch of Forever Family people's books in there.
Yeah, so that, thank you for asking about that. It's the book club Across the Veil. It came about, actually, I have to give Jane Asherini, who also contributed to Gathering at the Doorway, she wrote a beautiful book called The Next Room. She came up with the name for the book club Across the Veil when we were throwing around ideas, you know, for a book club. I loved the name. I just thought, oh, wow, I love that name. It's perfect. So it started from the name. It really wasn't anything before that. And then I just started, you know, doing Book of the Month. And I started with a, you know, a small group of people. Today, I have nearly 3,000 followers across my social media platforms for the book club Across the Veil. We have a Book of the Month every month. We have a list of over 200 recommended books on spirituality, on grief and healing, metaphysics, supernatural, numerology, sacred geometry, and, you know, all of those. So some are books that I have read personally. Others are books that have to be at least 4 stars, have to get 4-star ratings. And I'm very proud of it. I do all this myself, you know, and so it can be a lot of work, but I really feel like I'm doing something to help other people and at the same time to honor my son and his memory.
Do you have monthly meetings or is it a community?
Yeah, it's a great community. We have meetings, not regularly once a month. It depends because I'm the only one kind of, you know, that's doing it, putting it all together. So if I'm not available, we still have Book of the Month every month. And, you know, it's a great community. We chat with each other on the Facebook group, the Book Club Across the Veil. Yeah, and the books we've read are all so interesting. And my son, who created the cover art for, he's a graphic artist and digital artist. He created the cover art for my books. He also created a Book Club Across the Veil Book of the Month gold badge. So anyone who's been our Book of the Month gets a gold badge.
And that's Aaron's brother.
Okay, Aaron's brother, Jonathan, yes.
Since we're both so into books, was there a first book you read that opened all this up to you? For me, it was Dr. Jim Tucker. And I was like, what's going on? Well, actually, it was Time Travel Einstein's Universe. Then I found Dr. Jim Tucker. So he was the first afterlife-y one. What was the first book you found?
So the first book that I found on this subject, the first book I read after Aaron's passing was It's Okay That You're Not Okay by Megan Devine. And she doesn't go into much of the spirituality. I didn't start reading about the spiritual side of things until after I started hearing from Aaron. So the first book I read was We Don't Die by Sandra Champlain. And I found her podcast, and then I found the next book from that. And it just started from there. It was like, you know, the starting point of my awakening.
where are you now in your journey and where do you see this all going?
Well, now I have to say that I'm at a place where I feel that I'm really following Aaron's guidance. I wasn't sure for a long time if I was just kind of making myself do this in his memory. But I came to a point where I feel like this is guidance. This has all been guidance all along. And he and I are working together from across the veil. He's working on his side and I'm working on my side. And what we're doing on either side of the veil is benefiting both sides.
And do you feel he works with you every day and collaborates with you all the time?
Yeah, I really do. A lot of times I'll be talking on the subject with someone and, you know, he'll be, I can hear him too at the same time. He wants to be part of the conversation and he is part of the conversation. He's filling in some of the blanks. And it's amazing because a lot of what he'll say to me, I'll have to tell the person, just a minute, Aaron's telling me something I have to hear. And it's always something important that's going to help that person. And I don't consider myself a medium at all. In fact, Aaron told me early on, he said, Mom, it's not your job to be a medium or a psychic. Although I've had some psychic experiences and some mediumistic experiences, it's not my job to work in that way, he says. My job is to spread his message.
What psychic and mediumistic experiences have you had? Or is it your communication with Aaron or have you had others?
No, I've had some really incredible psychic experiences. So one time I was driving along the highway coming up to the cottage and there was a sign, you know, an exit sign off the highway. And I looked at the sign and it said, Oprah Winfrey Drive. And we live in Canada. And I look and I think, I never noticed an Oprah Winfrey Drive before. Driving along, I get close to the exit and I see it doesn't say Oprah Winfrey Drive at all. It says something completely different. But I knew, like my eyes saw Oprah Winfrey Drive. Couple minutes up the highway, I'm listening to a podcast. The person on the podcast mentions Oprah Winfrey.
That's weird. That just shows how time is not how we think.
Yes.
And I think we're always picking up messages from future, from other aspects, as if it's somehow all stored in some quantum particle.
Well, that's what Aaron talks to me a lot about, is time. Because time is really difficult to understand because we only see it in one way. And he talks a little bit about this concept of us being fractals of higher dimensions. That, you know, it's a multidimensional universe. And some physicians talk about the holographic world, that we're a holographic world, that we're not really, what we see is a hologram. We live in a hologram. And one physicist described it as, you know, it's certainly possible, you know, a hologram is a two-dimensional reflection of a three-dimensional, of light off of a three-dimensional object. We could be a three-dimensional reflection of light coming from a fifth-dimensional object. And Aaron talks about those things with me quite a bit, about time has dimensions as well. So time is a factor of speed and distance. Well, if we're a fractal of a greater design, and we're part of that three-dimensional fractal of it, then we can only see time that way. Whereas time is much bigger and greater, we only see it in one small part of it. It's like our visual field, like the total light spectrum is well beyond what we can see in our visual field, our you know, ability to hear sound. The spectrum of sound is way beyond. We know from our dogs, you know, our dogs can hear more sound than we can. So he talks a lot about the universe in that way, and you know, just trying to get me to see you know, from the limited perspective that I have in the three dimensions, trying to imagine beyond the three dimensions, if all of those dimensions expanded further.
Which our minds can't really process.
Right, right.
Does this tie into string theory in any way? I'm kind of obsessed with string theory. Does he talk about that?
Yeah, he talked about string theory a little bit, not a lot. That was way back. You know, I guess if you know, it all applies. Like string theory, he's telling me that it's all connected. All of these are connected. It's all a part of things. Try to imagine everything crossing paths too. Like our theories cross paths as well, because it's all true.
This is just all mind-boggling. I'm sure we could sit here and talk about it for hours and still not fully understand, because we can't understand the fourth dimension in a third dimensional experience. So getting a little down to the grounded now, how did you decide to write a book about your grief and Aaron and his experience in the afterlife?
Well, that started really early on. Very soon after, a friend of mine gave me that book, It's Okay That You're Not Okay by Megan Devine. And she also has an online Writing Your Grief course. So after reading the book and after, you know, a few weeks, I thought I would sign up for the course, because I had started jotting down some of the things in a form of a journal so I wouldn't forget them. You know, when you're in that dense fog of grief, you can't remember anything. And so I thought, well, I'll write this down or I'll forget it. And a friend of mine actually had come to me very early on with a message, written message, that she had channeled from Aaron. She also contributed a chapter to Gathering at the Doorway, my friend Arlene. She said, I'm not sure if I should give you this, but I think it's a message from Aaron. When she gave me the note that she had written, there were things in the note she couldn't have known, even though we'd been close friends for a really long time. And the next day, Aaron's passing was under a police investigation. We met with the detectives, and one of the detectives said something that was word for word in the note. And I don't remember anything else he said after that. I was so shocked by that. And that kind of later on, I realized that that is evidence that our loved ones know what's going to happen. They can send us signs of what hasn't even happened yet to give us evidence, right? And so from that point, I started journaling. I thought, I bet I got to write this stuff down. And I found that course and I just kept going, writing everything down. And then one day I got a message from Aaron, you're going to write a book. No, I'm not. How do you think I'm going to do that? I've never written a book before. I'm not a writer. Oh, don't worry, Mom. You'll do it. Sure enough, I decide, I'll Google, how do you publish a book? Well, you can self-publish a book, I find out. It's actually not that difficult. I followed all the steps on Amazon Kindle Direct Publishing and published my first book. And I was just really surprised. You know, in my introduction, I say, if only one person reads this book, I'm sure it'll be the person who needs it the most. Because that was my entire expectation, that nobody was going to be interested in reading my story. And from that point, I began to, you know, be guided to so many people, Helping Parents Heal and Forever Family Foundation, and, you know, just meeting so many people who had similar experiences and who understood. And that's what led to Gathering at the Doorway, you know, talking to people, sharing our stories, people wanting to tell their stories, but not feeling like anyone wanted to hear them. And I thought, no, people want to hear these stories. And in fact, you know, the more they hear, the more evidence it is.
Would you want to share a little bit about Aaron, his personality, any favorite memories?
So Aaron's my eldest, my first child. So Aaron made me a mom, and he was a remarkable child, and every child is remarkable. Aaron was ahead of expected milestones, though. He talked really early, and I always tell this story about when he started nursery school. He wasn't even 3 years old yet, and one day I was tying his shoes, getting him ready for school, and some coins fell out of my pocket onto the floor, and he grabbed them up and put them in his pocket. And I said, oh no, you can't take those to school with you. You're not allowed to take those to school. Well, he had a little fit. And finally I said to him, Aaron, okay, you can take them to school, but do not take them out of your pocket. About an hour later, I get a phone call from the school, the principal. And I'm thinking, oh my God, some kid choked on one of those coins, or, you know. But what she said was, I just wanted to let you know, did you know that Aaron brought some coins to class today? I said, I told him not to take them out of his pocket. And she said, well, he passed them out to each of his classmates and told them to put their coin in the charity box. He wasn't even 3 years old yet. She said she'd never seen that before from a child that age. And that was Aaron. He was charitable. He was generous. He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I'm not exaggerating. The full title of Aaron's Energy is An Unexpected Journey Through Grief and the Afterlife with My Brilliant Son. And he, as brilliant as Aaron was in life, he continues to be a brilliant guiding light for me. And that's why I used the word brilliant in the title.
And since you still talk to him so much, is he still the same personality? I know there's a fear, and some people think this sounds great to say. They say, oh, we're all one on the other side. I'm like, oh God. I mean, if that's how it is, I can't stop it. But that sounds awful.
Well, he's definitely the same personality. Like, there's no question. I would say that sometimes he sounds older than he was. And sometimes he just sounds like the same, you know, kind of hip young guy he was. But he's always the same personality. And he told me once about that, like, you know, he said, Mom, love is the energy of creation. That is what we exist to create. We're created in order to create. That's why we have minds that think and mouths that speak and hands that work, and we're able to create. So everything is created from one source. But while on the other side, we can take on whatever we want. We can be whoever we want. If we want to be the same as we were, if we want to be someone else. You know, Aaron said to me once, I asked him what he was doing. You know, are you flying around to different planets? He said, I can fly to a planet. I can, you know, be at on another planet instantly, or I can become a bird that flies. I can create whatever experience I want to create over here for myself. And as the connection that we have, he's always himself to me. So they retain their personalities because they existed and because they continue to exist.
And you had mentioned he was exceptionally smart, and you shared that beautiful story. I've heard from a lot of parents that, you know, someone who tends to pass young, they tend to almost be this exceptional level of intelligence, and not just intellectually intelligent. I mean, no 2-year-old I've ever heard of, even some of the people who've turned out to be the best people, or even 3-year-old, has done that level of generosity. I mean, from what I understand, even the brain at that age is a selfish brain, you know, where you're just thinking of yourself and starting to notice empathy. So, I mean, to have that level, do you think, if you don't mind my asking, there is something in the plan where the older souls come to live the shorter lives? Because this is something I've heard repeatedly from parents about the maturity level of their child and loving nature.
Yeah. Yes. And that's a really good point. I actually very early on started referring to Aaron as an old soul and didn't even at the time know what that meant. It just seemed to be so fitting for him. And I've heard the same thing from many other parents that they thought of their child as an old soul as well. You know, and Aaron talks to me about soul plans, and soul plans are a little confusing to me even today. You know, I've read about them, and I've read about a number of different authors who write about the soul plan, and I still find it a little hard to grasp. But Aaron, my understanding from how Aaron describes the soul plan is that from all of the potentials that exist prior to the outcome, we have a choice. So it's at that time when we're part of all those potentials that we make those choices and we make those plans and we make those agreements. Some people refer to them as soul agreements. So, you know, we think of them in our physical existence as, you know, like a contract of some kind, but in a spiritual sense, those are made when we exist in the realm of potentials and when we make the choices. So that's the best understanding I have from Aaron.
Lastly, I want to ask you, what do you think is the best, most convincing evidence of an afterlife, scientific evidence, as well your strongest personal experience?
My opinion on that is that NDEs are the best evidence of an afterlife. From there, like you said, the vast volumes of stories and anecdotal evidence of them occurring, you know, and so much in common between the stories from, you know, across time and across, you know, populations, to hear those stories and for those stories to have that much in common, and the experiences that people are able to relate from their near-death experiences, that's the best evidence to me.
And how convinced are you now that there is an afterlife?
Well, I'm going to say 99.9% convinced. I still have like a shred of, you know, doubt there, but only a shred. And even when I tell you it's 99.9%, it's really 100% sure that there is an afterlife. And I have thought about it for myself, actually, what it'll be like for me based on what my son has related to me. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, when my time comes, I know what's going to happen now. I know how it's going to go. I know I'm going to see my son, you know, but I have to keep in mind something he told me, that we're here for a purpose, and that purpose is creation. And as long as we're here, we're serving that purpose. We might not be consciously serving it all the time. We can't possibly be conscious of everything going on all at the same time, but we're holding a place in that. We're there for a reason, for a purpose. And when we leave, we should try to make sure that we make our transitions as smooth as possible, because we retain, during the phase of transition, which is not in one fell swoop, he says, it takes time to transition fully away from the body. You always retain some connection to your physical life. He says that physical life is where things get worked out and fixed, that we're here for that. Our physical existence is partly for that reason, fixing things, keeping balance in the universe and fixing and working out things. And he said that for the smoothest transition, fix and work out as much as you can in life, because we will carry some of it across with us during our transition and clearing it out, because what we'll be doing is clearing out things that don't belong across the veil. They belong here.
So it's supposed to be difficult here.
Well, it's supposed to be work. It doesn't mean it has to be difficult, because just existing is part of being here. You don't have to do anything. We spend half of our lives sleeping, and we're working things out in our sleep too. I know sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm like, what was that dream all about? It definitely felt like work. So it's work has a broader definition over there than it does here. Work can be joyous.
Work's a lot of fun. I like work, but yeah, life's really challenging in a lot of ways too. There's a lot of difficulties, tragedy, meanness.
Aaron told me something today about, about spiritual awakening, and that, you know, he says that the veil is really just like a border or a boundary between the physical ego and the soul. And when that border is pierced, energy flows through that opening back and forth. And that's when the spiritual awakening occurs. He said that that can happen personally, or that can happen collectively, like we're seeing today. There's a big awakening occurring today.
Is it? And that's what's been going on for the past few years with all the challenges, like the wars, COVID, some of the same politicians. I know we both hate the same one that luckily we're done with. Well, hopefully. Let's see what happens next time.
You never really know. And based on the way things look, we're definitely due for a big awakening.
it's scary, scary. And it seems very, a lot of the problem seems so unnecessarily man-made. So unnecessarily.
Everything.
95% of them.
All of the problems we have, we've made. Yeah. And that's what the awakening's about, is opening our minds to fix those now, because the problems have just come all full out in the open.
Hopefully we do seem like we're moving with bumps in the road and not a perfect trajectory. It does seem like we're moving in a more empathic direction overall. If you look back to 1,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago, even 100 years ago, it seems we're moving in the direction of empathy, although not a direct line with a lot of bumps along the way, but it does seem like we're moving that way. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely agree. I think that, people are trying to figure things out, and some things that, that might not look like empathy are actually people trying to figure out their empathy. So it's hard to recognize it sometimes, when things get so polarized, as they appear to be today in politics and in society. A lot of the times it's all empathy. It's just being expressed differently and at different, ways in the journey.
Is there anything I haven't asked you that you want to share, or anything else?
I can't really think of anything. The only thing I might add is that I'm a little further along than just considering now, putting together another book of evidential messages from Aaron, and include some stories from other people. So that's early stages. Right now, I'm working with my daughter, who is an editor. She'll be the editor of this book. Shelby Dan is her name. Her company is enchantedediting.ca. And so we're going to work together on that. And this time, you know, we're going to take our time at it. And, you know, my other books, I put out very quickly from start to finish. This time, I think we're going to just take it a day at a time and just go with the flow.
I hope you do write another book. Let me know if it's out. We'll give it a shout out here. So
thank you.
Hi, I'm interrupting the podcast episode for this week's listener question. Anne asks, how does it make any sense that consciousness could be created without a brain? You know what, Anne? It doesn't make any sense. I can't really wrap my mind around it either. But also, there's this kind of false belief that consciousness created by a brain makes complete sense, while consciousness downloaded by a brain makes no sense. And I don't really agree with that. The more I think about it, how could this brain that's created just by material cells, mass, matter, neurons, how could this material brain just poof, create consciousness? And complicated consciousness, identity, deep emotions, thoughts, you know, not just amoebas that are trying to survive. And I mean, our brains are material mass and matter. How do they create consciousness? That makes no more sense logically than the concept that these brains can be downloading our consciousness. Consciousness just doesn't really make sense. And to think that theory that it's created by a brain is so much more logical than downloaded by your brain, I have come to think that isn't really true, that that's the most logical explanation. If you have a question you want me to answer, send it to hello@wtfjusthappened.net and put question of the week in the subject. I know I usually say first names, but if you want to be completely anonymous, let me know. And feel free to reach out anyway, even if you don't have a question. I can't wait to hear your questions and hear from you.
So where can people find you, follow you, remind us of the names of all your books? And I know you also are involved in supporting some charities. So let us know some charities you think we should give some attention to and some support to.
Definitely Forever Family Foundation is one that I like to support. Helping Parents Heal is another. Also, mental health and addiction counseling services, grief support services. There's quite a nice list of charities that my book sales go to on my website, www.aaronsenergy.com. 100% of my book sales actually are donated to those charities. I'm giving some of the donations directly to urgent medical needs in Israel and Gaza at the moment. So my books are titled Aaron's Energy, An Unexpected Journey Through Grief and the Afterlife with My Brilliant Son, first and second editions. The second edition I published specifically for Helping Parents Heal, and it has a little extra about the organization in the book. Gathering at the Doorway, an anthology of signs, visits, and messages from the afterlife, is my second book, and that's a collection of over 40 authors from around the world and their personal experiences, scientific research findings, and some photographic evidence of afterlife communication. I can be found on Facebook at the Book Club Across the Veil and on Instagram, also the Book Club Across the Veil. Yeah, and YouTube. I have a YouTube channel called The Book Club Across the Veil, and I post our meetings after they occur.
And can anyone join The Book Club Across the Veil?
Yes, absolutely. So anyone can join on Instagram and follow at Book Club Across the Veil. Anyone on Facebook can join our Facebook group. It's a private Facebook group. So they just have to click on the group. And also there's a link in my website that says, it says join. It's on the Book Club Across the Veil page on my website. So they can click there to join. Well, thank you so much. I've been a follower of yours and an admirer of yours since I discovered your book and your podcast, and it's truly an honor to be a guest on it.
To get more information on what the fuck just happened, go to WTFjustHappened.net. There you can order my book, WTF Just Happened, A Sciencey Skeptic Explores Grief, Healing, and Evidence of an Afterlife. You can learn all about how I came to conclude that there most likely is an afterlife, but you can also learn about the early stages of my grief and the amazing, fascinating people I met along the way. You can read about how much I harassed the mediums and scientists trying to get evidence to see if the mediums were cheating and see if what everyone was saying actually was true. You can also subscribe to our newsletter to stay updated on any new developments and any interesting new what the fuck updates. So if you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. It makes such a difference, especially for a new podcast like this one. And if any of you have had a crazy what the fuck yourself, have any questions, feedback, or just want to say hey, reach out on either Instagram at WTF_just_happened_, or email me at hello@WTFjustHappened.net. I love hearing from all of you. It makes my day hearing your stories and questions and feedback and all of it. And remember, you don't have to draw any final conclusions as you wonder, what the fuck just happened?